Today's daf is Pei Aleph. Let's just review the Mishnah on Daf Pei Amid Beis. The Mishnah says Bakol Ma'arvim, and Bakol Ma'arvim means in Chatzeros to Mishtatvim in Mavui Chutz Min Amayim Min Amelach. You may remember that we mentioned yesterday that Mayim and Melach is not called Mazon, and it cannot be used therefore neither for an Erev Chatzeros nor for a Sheet of Mavos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Rabbi Yeshua says, in the case of a chotzer, then the only thing we could use for an eruv is kikar, and we'll soon see that it's a complete kikar, a loaf of bread that's complete hu eruv. That's a valid eruv. Afilu mafes sa'ah, even if it's gigantic, but vehi prusa ein ma'arvim ba. So the size is not the determining factor. It could be large, but if it's cut and it's not completed, sliced, then it is invalid. But kikar ki isar, even if he has a small loaf of bread, the size of a small coin, but it's complete, it's whole, it hasn't been sliced, then ma'arvim bo, it's valid. And now we're going to start the daf for today. That's daf pei aleph. The Gemara asks the following question. Tnina Chada Zimna. We have a Mishnah back on Daf Chavav Amid Beis, and the Mishnah there is addressing the laws of Erev Tchumen, and the quote from the Mishnah is Bakol Ma'arvim Mishtatvim Chutz Min Amayim V'Amelach. And the Gemara thinks that both our Mishnah and what we learned back on Daf Chavav refer to Erev Tchumen and Erev Chatzeros, both, and it's a repeat. Why would the Mishnah feel compelled to repeat that which we already learned? Omar Rabba, the reason why our Mishnah is formulated and adds something is Lafuki Midrabi Yeshua. Our Mishnah wants to tell us that not everyone accepts the position of Rabbi Yeshua, the Omar Kikar in Midi Achrini Lo, that Rabbi Yeshua requires a Kikar, in addition he requires a Sholem, but that's not an issue. The issue is whether the only foodstuff that is valid for an Erev is a Kikar's bread, and other foodstuffs are not accepted. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to tell us Rabbi Eliezer, who says Bakol, you could be ma'arv with everything, with the exception of Melach and Mayim. And if the Mishnah had not repeated here what it says in our Mishnah, we would have thought that Bakol ma'arvim in our Mishnah, that's referring only exclusively to Erev Tchumen, where even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you don't need a pass for Erev Tchumen. But in the case of Erev Chatzeros, it could be, we would have drawn the conclusion, mistakenly, if we only had the Mishnah back on Daf Chavav, that everybody agrees to Rabbi Yeshua in the case of Erev Chatzeros, Shem Revarv Ma'arvin El Bepas, that in Erev Chatzeros you're limited to the possibility of a loaf of bread, other foodstuffs would not be valid. Now that Rabbi Lozer here, in our Mishnah, and he makes his comment contiguous to that of Rabbi Yeshua, we derive that the conclusion is Rabbi Eliezer actually disagrees and rejects Rabbi Yeshua, and he holds that just like Erev Tchumen, any foodstuff will be valid, so too in Erev Chatzeros is Ma'arv Mekol Dover. So now Abaye asks Akasha on Rabba, and it doesn't say clearly in the words of Rabbi Eliezer that he disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Eisvei, so Abaye asks Rabba the following question. How can you derive a conclusion from Rabbi Eliezer that he disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua? And he holds that even in the case of Erev Chatzeros Ma'arvim Bekol Dovar, we have a Braisa, and the Braisa doesn't even mention a dissenting view of Rabbi Eliezer. The Braisa is a Stoma, without mentioning any names, an anonymous Braisa, which we assume everybody would agree with, Bakor ma'arvim Erev Chatzeros, Bekol Mishtatvim, Shituf Muvos, V'lo Amru La'arev Bepas, Ela B'chotzer Bilvad. when we make a sheet of muvoi, then for shitufe muvos, we can use everything. That means we can use pas, we can use yayin, we can use other foodstuffs, but there's a requirement of pas and only pas with regard to Erev Chatzeros. Now, man shamet le'loha, who is the author of this brisa? To whom can we attribute this brisa? That Erev Chatzeros, a pas in, midiachrini lo, only a pas is valid for Erev Chatzeros, Rabbi Yeshua. It's got to be Rabbi Yeshua. Uketani bakol ma'arvim, and nevertheless, the brisa says bakol ma'arvim. We must interpret, therefore, that the brisa, when it says bakol ma'arvim, eruvei chatzeros, it means ma'arvim. How could the brisa open up with the words bakol ma'arvim eruv chatzeros and then continue and contradict itself by saying lo amru le'arev bepas el bechatzim, meaning be'eruv chatzeros? So what is it? Is it bakol ma'arvim eruv chatzeros or lo amru le'arev el bepas? The only way we could reconcile the ratio of the brisa with the seif of the brisa by assuming that when it says in the opening line in the brisa bakol ma'arvim erev chatzeros, it means all kinds of pas. A loaf of bread could be made of any of five different species of grains. And if that be the case, if that's how we are forced willy-nilly to interpret the brisa bakol ma'arvin, let's go back to our Mishnah. And when our Mishnah says bakol ma'arvin, it might mean that kol minei pas. Our Mishnah is not talking about erev tchumin, which, according to everyone, you could use different kinds of food stuff as long as it's Muslim shtei sudos. Our Mishnah is addressing the case of erev chatzeros, and bakol ma'arvin should be interpreted as all types of pas. And you can use for an Erev Chatzeros all types of pas. So therefore, at this point in the Gemara thinks that it's impossible that the addition of our Mishnah is coming to interpret and expand the possibilities for Erev Chatzeros to include all kinds of food, because the Mishnah didn't accomplish that goal, and on the contrary, we would interpret Kol Ma'arvim the same way that we interpret Kol Ma'arvim in the Braisa, as referring to all mini pas. So now we're back to square one, and we have to again come up with an answer as to how to justify our Mishnah, which seems to be a repeat of the Mishnah back on Chaf Vav. Ela Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, if you can say that a Mishnah comes back and writes that Bakol Ma'arvim Mishtatvim is coming to exclude Rabbi Yeshua, is Lafuke Rabbi Yeshua, the Omar Shlema in Prusalo. Don't tell me that Am Mishnah is arguing against Rabbi Yeshua with regard to the possibility of using other foodstuffs other than bread for an Erev Chatzeres. That's not true. Our Mishnah is coming to be Mechadesh that we reject Rabbi Yeshua's requirement of a Pas Shlema. Kamash Malon, that's what our Mishnah wants to tell us. And here's where Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. Bakol, meaning you can use for an Erev Chatzeros any bread, even if it's a sliced piece of bread. And that's the Kiddush of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara wants to come back to Rabbi Yeshua and understand why Rabbi Yeshua requires a Pashlema. Uprusa my time alone, why does Rabbi Yeshua exclude a pas prusa? In other words, you have a number of residents that share the same chutz, and they want to set up an Erev Chatzeros. Each one is going to contribute a pas. What's the chisaron? What's the drawback if they contribute a pas prusa? Om Rav Yossi ben Sholom Rebbe, mishum eva. For the reason of eva. In other words, there's going to be some animosity if you allow for a pas prusa to be used for an Erev Chatzeres. Because, let's say Reuven and Shimon are both residents of the same chutz. And Reuven comes up with this beautiful, complete pas that you would put on the table of the kings. Shimon sends a slice of bread. And that's going to cause animosity, because Reuven is saying, look, I contributed such a beautiful pas, it was a shlema, why should Shimon be so stingy about it and contribute a very small slice of bread, or even a very big slice of bread? So in order to avoid that kind of situation, we made a takana that an Erev Chatzeros requires a Shlema. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Amale Rav Acha Brei Deravel Rav Ashi. Now Rav Acha asks a question from Rav Ashi. Erevu Kula Beprusos. Let's say all the members of the Chatzer decide as a unanimous approval that they'll all contribute a Prusa. That's not going to cause any animosity, any jealousy, or Eva. Amale, nevertheless, we're going to disqualify the Erev. Why? Shema Yachzer Dovel Kilkulo. Once they get used to contributing a Pas Prusa, there's going to be a situation arising where one of the Bnei Achotzer is going to offer a Pas Prusa, the other Bnei Achotzer are offering a Shleiman, and once again, it's going to generate animosity. So let's not get used to a Pas Prusa. Let's just make an absolute, unconditional rule that we will disqualify a Pas Prusa, so that nowhere down the line will we generate Eva between the neighbors. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul. The Gemara now wants to come up with a case where even if the Pas is not a Pas Shlema, it's a prusa technically, but it will have the legal halachic status as a shlema, and it's kosher for an eruv. Nitla heimenu kidei chalosa. Let's say the amount that was cut off was the amount that's necessary for hafrashas chala. And in that case, what he was cutting off of the pas was litikun. It was done in order to be metaking the pas, for the benefit of the pas. Now, of course, normally we take off challah from the isa itself, but there are two options. You can take challah off a baked loaf of bread, and that's what they did in this case. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to validate this pas prusa, out of which was taken a shear of challah, the minimum shear of challah. We'll see exactly what that is in a minute. And even though it's prusa, he validates it for an Erev Chatzeros. Another such example of a tikkun, where part of the pas was removed. Kedei dimua. Dimua means when you have chulin that falls into a mixture of truma, then we have a principle of bittul b'meah. If there are 100 times in the chulin against the one time in the truma, one volume of truma, then everything's mutter. Normally, truma is an iser chi of misa b'dei shemayim for a zar, but in this case, we were mala the truma with echad b'meah. But the kohen still wants to get his due, so now we have to take from the pas the exact same volume of the truma that fell in and give it to the kohen, so the kohen doesn't get cheated by virtue of the fact that his truma fell into a mixture. And Chazal said that you're not allowed to eat from this mixture until such time as you remove kidei dimua, the amount equal to the truma, the volume of the truma that fell into this mixture. And in these cases, ma'arvin loba, even though there's something missing from the pas, you sliced off and subtracted a piece, but that you did for the sake of tikkun, that's not considered chaser, and it's valid even though it's not shalem for an Erev Chatzer. So the Gemara asks, and are you telling me that you can make an Erev with a pas from which we removed Kedei Challah? For Asanya, we have a Braisa that says just the opposite. The Braisa says, Kedei Dimua Ma'arvin Bot Lobo. If he takes out of this pas that which he needs of Kedei Dimua, then it's valid for an Erev. But Kedei Chalosa Ein Ma'arvin Lobo. Lokasha. Now the Gemara tells us that within the question of the shear of challah, which we want to get into now, there are two different shiurim of challah. There's not one uniform shear of challah for everyone. And Chazal find a kula in the case of a nachtom, who's a professional baker, and he has massive amount of flour that he bakes into bread, and that's called challas nachtom. And Chalas Nachtum, when the baker makes a dough, which he will bake as a bread and sell on the open market, we allow him to separate 1/48, a very small amount, for challah. But ha, bechalas balabais. So let's go over this. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul says that you could be ma'ariv b'pas, even though it's missing kidei challah, he was talking about a very small fraction that was taken off from the challah. And that was because he was discussing the case of a professional baker who sells his bread commercially, and he takes off a very, very small amount. However, that which the Brisa says, ein ma'arvin b'pas, that was b'chalas balabayis, which is a more significant shear of challah, and therefore, it's not considered a shalem. How do we know? Where's the source for this conclusion that there are two different shirim of challah? The larger shear in the case of the balabais, the smaller in the case of the nachtom. This now we learned in the Mishnah, the second perek of challah, shear challah. What is the minimum amount that has to be given to the kohen as challah? And it depends. If we're talking about your classic nesina, which means a balabais, is echon mi esrim v'yarba. He's got to give 1 over 24. And that's a pretty significant amount. That's more than one quarter. Or a little bit less than one quarter, I should say. Right. And that's the shear. Now, why is the shear such a significant amount? That's because the Torah says in the Parsha Matnas Kohuna, in Dvarim Perek Yudches, titein lo. And Chazal derived from titein lo, they have to give to the Kohen something that's roi loseis b'maton. It's got to be a matona chashuva, nesina chashuva. So Balabayis generally will bake his bread from a small isa. He's not, professionally baking breads. And he's chayv and chala. The Chacham say he should be mafresh 1 over 24. And it doesn't matter really whether or not the Balabayis decides to bake a larger isa or a smaller isa, as long as he has the shear of an isa, he has to give 1 over 24 as a matana chashuva, and that's the key of the mitzvah of titein lo. And the chachamim said, ose isa li atzmo, if he's a private person, he's making his own personal isa for him and his family, is isa gedola, even if he makes a very large challah, he's marrying off his son, and on the dais he wants to put a large, large challah. Nevertheless, he has to be mafrish 1 over 24. We're not going to be lenient just because it's a massive amount of kemach and isa. However, says the Mishnah, nachtom shehu osa limkar b'shuk, and we're not talking about what a nachtom bakes at home in his own private oven for his family, but when he's baking in his bakery for commercial purposes, and v'chein isha she'asa so limkar b'shuk, and even if a private individual wants to go public and commercially bake and sell in the market, is echad mi'arba'im v'shmon, it's a smaller shear, 1 over 48. And since, generally speaking, a nachto makes these very large doughs, then when he is mafresh 1 over 48, that becomes a shear that's royal in Asina. That's what Chazal say. That's an Asina Chashuvi, fulfills the mitzvah of titein lo. And the Chacham say that all he has to be mafresh is 1 over 48. Now the Gemara wants to know, is there any other scenario, any other circumstance in which you can use a pas prusa and it will be a valid Erev Chatzeros? Omer Rav Chisda, utfara b'kesam. If he takes some sort of a splinter, some sort of a little piece of wood or so, and he's able to, so to speak, sew together the pieces and fool you into thinking that it's a shlema, is ma'ar v'lo ba. And I remember when I was in the army here in Israel, we very often relied on this kula. When we didn't have access on Shabbos to shlemos, we used instead prusos, but we packed them all together as they came from Angel's Bakery, which is a few blocks from here, and it looked like a shlema. It's ma'arvin lo ba'at kosher. So Gemara asks a steer from a brice of Matanya. We have a brice that says, ein ma'arvin lo ba. We cannot use a pas shechibra al yidei kisam as an eruv. Lo kasha. Ha diyadiyah tifra, ha d'lo yediyah tifra. In one case, he does a sloppy job, so to speak, and it's obvious that these are little pieces that he sewed together. In the other case, he did a great job, and it looks like a shleima, and that's enough for hechsher to be considered a valid erev chatzis. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel, ma'arvin v'pas me orez u'pas me dochen. You can use not only the five species of grains in order to make a bread for Erev Chatzeres, you could also use orez and dochen, which means rice and millet. Omar mar ukva l'didim mefarshalim minid mar Shmuel. Let me explain what Shmuel had in mind. Bepas orez ma'arvim, u'bepas dochen ein ma'arvim. His transmission was radically different. He said that what Shmuel actually said was that we can validate a pas that's made of rice, a rice bread, but we have to exclude a pas that's made of dochan. And all this really depends upon a sugya mesecht pesachim about whether or not these kinds of breads are considered chametz, and therefore, if you don't allow them, you arrest the process of fermentation prematurely. They could be used as matzah. Are they considered lechem? Because orez v'dochen are what's called kitnios. They are legumes. And they are very similar to dagon, to grains. And you could make a bread out of these legumes. However, it's not a great bread. It's not exactly as tasty and as thick as a bread made of grains. And the question always arises, what's the status of a pas orez v'dochen? Now, I'll just mention to you that Rashi in Bava Metzia assumes that dochan is similar to orez. And orez is called meal, which we call millet, and dochen is called pence in Laz, which we call rice. So Rashi actually switches orez v'dochen. The Maril, on the other hand, says that although according to Rashi, dochen is rice, and that's what we call today rice, whereas orez, he says, is something that's similar, but it's called hears. And Tosfos says just the opposite, that orez is rice, and dochen is that which Rashi says is orez, which is meal, or as we call it, millet. And these discussions go on and on and on endlessly. There's a fellow here in Israel, if you heard of him, Felix, and he's an expert on this whole topic. Ayin shom. Omar Abchia bar Ovin, Omar Rav, Ma'arvin v'pas adoshim. Rav is quoted as going even a step further. Even if you take certain kinds of lentils and you create a flour out of them, these are legumes, and you could still make a bread, and you could use it for an Eruv. Now, I doubt if Rav would go so far as to say, Amotzi lech min aretz on a pas adoshim, or to validate a pas adoshim for, let's say, lechem mishnah, or for chametz, as opposed to matzah, chametz or matzah on Pesach, but in the context of Eruvin, we can lower our standards and we can accept even a bread that was made out of legumes. Today, you have all sorts of funky dietary breads, and you'll probably find somewhere on the shelves of some of these health food stores bread that's made out of legumes. So the Gemara asks, Eidi, is this really so? V'ahi davi v'shnei demar Shmuel, there was a pas of adoshim that was prepared during the time of Shmuel, during his lifetime. And the Gemara is going to soon tell us that Yechezkel HaNavi already had prophesied that at some point in Jewish history, they would not be able to make a pas out of grains, they would have to make a pas out of legumes. And that was a very bad prophecy, that foretold the evil and the golus. Anyway, what did Shmuel do with this beautiful pas that he made out of lentils, out of adoshim? Again, if you want to make a soup out of adoshim, that's fine, but a bread out of adoshim? Shadi l'kal v'lochla. He threw it to his dog, the dog refused to eat it. Dog has his nose up in the air. Even for Achilles Kelev, it wasn't considered Ru'uya LeKelev. And now you're going to tell me that you could be Ma'ariv in it? For sure you can't be Ma'ariv in it. How are you going to reconcile this story about a Pas Adashim of Shmuel with Rav's ruling that Ma'ariv in Pas Adashim? The Gemara says, Ahi, the case in which Shmuel tried to feed his dog the Pas Adashim and the dog refused to eat it, that was not a Pas Adashim. Again, the word Adashim is one of the ingredients, but the Shar Minim Havi. It was a mixture of many different kinds of legumes. And that's not considered a pas at all. That's the kind of a bread that starving people will eat if they're absolutely desperate. The Chsiv, as Yechezkel Novi unfortunately tragically foretold it, Ve'atah, Kachlucha, Chitim, U'si'orim, U'pol, V'adoshim, V'docham, V'kusmin. And the end of the pasuk says, "V'nasato sam b'kli echav yasiso sam lechol lechem." So it's made out of beans. It's made out of millet. It's made out of spelt. It's made out of a mixture of various legumes like lentils and so forth and so on. And Yechezkel's telling us, "You make this bread, and you'll get an idea of what kind of starvation Klal Yisrael are going to suffer from after the siege is tightened around Yerushalayim. Take all these different minim together, try to make a pas, and that bread, which people would not really eat, they'll have to eat it out of desperation because of hunger." And of course, it goes without saying, this reminds us of the Holocaust. Rapop Amar, Hahi, that pas, which Shmuel offered to his dog, and the dog refused it, was a different kind of pas. It wasn't just a pas of Adoshim. That itself could be a pas, and the dog would enjoy it. I guess we'll have to ask Ronit about that. But anyway, is Tzluya Vitzoas Adam Havi? What did they use for coals? They used human feces for coals. And the dog couldn't even tolerate such a pas Adoshim. And the Gemara wants to reflect on the beginning of the pasuk that we quoted before about the Nevuas Yechezkel, and it says there, the Chsiv, Vehi begelele tseas ha'odam te'ugenole nehem. It will be baked, this bread, in the front, in the presence of Klal Yisrael, with gechalim that were made from human feces. That's how desperate they would be to try to eat this bread in that state of starvation. The Gemara now goes back to the beginning of the pasuk that we started with, the he begelele tzas adam, and it says, my, what does it mean? V'ugas sa'orim tochlena, which literally translates as some sort of a barley cookie that they will eat. Om Rav Chizda l'shi'urim. Don't read it si'orim, but read it shi'urim. Shi'urim means they're going to have to measure how much they could eat from the pas in order to remove that starvation, in order to get something into their system. That's how bad the nevuah is. Rav Papa Amar, he takes the word siorim literally, and he interprets it as arivasa ke'arivas siorim, meaning when you prepare a dough out of, let's call it wheat in this case, then it's a beautiful aricha, but when you prepare it out of siorim, out of barley, then the way you prepare the strips of isa, of dough, in order to bake them, that's already a dover maguna, that's disgusting. Lokar rivas chitim. And now we're up to the Mishnah here on the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph Amid Aleph. Nosein Adam ma'a lechenvani ulenachtom kidei sheyizke lo eruv divrei Rabbi Lezva chomer mim lo zachu lo ma'osav. The Mishnah records a machlokes here between Rabbi Eliezer on the one hand, the Chacham, and the other. Rabbi Eliezer is the Mekil, Chachamim amachmirim, with regard to an eruv chatzeros, in a case where a person wanted to contribute to the Eruv. He's one of the Bnei Achatz, one of the Bnei Amavui. And what he does was, he goes into his local bake shop, he puts money on the table, a ma, and he says to this this seller, he says to him, you know, you and I share the same chutz. Why don't you do me a favor? Take this ma, and instead of delivering to me a loaf of bread from your bake shop, set up that bread as a part of the Erev, meaning be mezakemi in the pas and contribute it to the Erev. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, if that's what he said, then when the members of the Mavui, or of the Chatzah, they come around to collect, let's say, in the case of Shita Mavos, let's say Yayin. So they come out to collect. Because Chenvani is a... I skipped one thing. Chenvani and a Nachtum. Chenvani is a wine seller, and Nachtum is a baker, a bread seller. So they come around to collect the Yayin for the Shita Mavos, or the Pas for the Erev Chatzeros. Is Yizakalo B'Erev, the Chenvani or the Nachtom could do the Zechiah and make a Zechiah on behalf of this person who gave him a Ma, and that's his contribution. It's a valid Erev. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, but Chacham say no, lo Zochmos of the Kinyan is not Chal. Why? So what I'm about to say is really an introduction to the entire balance of the Sugya on Pei Aleph Amid Beis, so let's get it down straight. There's a fundamental difference between Karka, real estate, and metalton, immovables. Karka is nikneis bekesef. So the very moment I give you even a down payment for a piece of real estate, I'm kona that real estate. And if there's an inundation in the field, I take the loss because I, as a buyer, gave you maos. I gave you money and I was kona, I clinched the kinyan. But not so in the case of metalton. In the case of metalton, in order for the lokeach, the buyer, to clinch his kinyan, he has to do what's called a kinyan yad, meaning he has to either lift up the object that he's getting from the mocher, or he has to, that's called hagbah, or he has to do a meshicha, he has to take it into his possession, he has to do some sort of a kinyan yad. In this case, say the chachamim, it's very nice that we'll call him Shimon. Shimon wants to contribute to the Erev, so he takes his mos, and he brings it to Reuven, who's either the chenvani or the nachtum, and he says, you know, the bread or the wine should be given on my behalf as my contribution to the Erev. That's fine and dandy, except for one problem. Wine and bread are metaltalin. And even though he put down the money, and I don't even care if he put down the entire full value of the wine or the bread, it doesn't matter. He's not kona. He cannot be kona metaltalin with mos. He needs meshicha, he needs hakbah. So therefore, even if the chenvani or the nachtom would be zichalo al yidei acher, the erev would not be chal. Why? Because what's going on over here? The chenvani has in mind to be makne this barrel of wine or this loaf of bread in exchange for the ma. But the ma, meaning the currency, is not knuya lo lemocher. In other words, the seller, in this case the chenvani, he doesn't make a kinyan on the ma, because the entire kinyan is still not valid until the lokeach, till the buyer actually does a meshicha, as we said before. So that in this case, there's no gemiras das on the part of the lokeach. He's not somech on the mocher because, you know, he doesn't want this kinyan to be chal. And he cannot have the kinyan to be chal. Now, the Gemara later on is going to explain why the lokeach doesn't have vested interest to clinch the kinyan immediately, because he's afraid that maybe the metaltel will not be delivered, it'll go up in smoke. We'll get into that a little bit later. But in any event, the lokeach, the buyer, is not makne, he doesn't transfer ownership over this ma. He wanted to give the ma for the loaf of bread, but he never got the loaf of bread. He didn't make a meshich on it. So it comes out, say the chachamim, that the mocher, who's setting up an Erev on behalf of the lokeach, with this ma that he received from the lokeach from the buyer, in a situation where there's no das lokeach, that the Erev should be done with this ma. What the lokeach wants is to set up an Erev with the loaf of bread or the barrel of wine. So this becomes, according to Chachom, a situation in which one of the Bnei HaChatzer took a coin without the agreement of the other Bnei HaChatzer, and he wants to buy a pas for an Erev. That's not valid. And now we turn to Daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. The Mishnah continues. It says, "Modin the Chachamim concede to Rabbi Eliezer b'Shar Kol Adam." If we're not talking about neither a Chenvani nor a Nachtum, who are professional people in commerce, they're selling, but he comes over to a regular Joe, a regular person who's not selling. Zochulo Ma'osaf. Once he gives the ma to his friend, who's not a Chenvani or a Nachtum, and he says to him, please, take this mos and be zocha on my behalf in an Eruv, in such a case, when his friend buys a loaf of bread for his friend as his shliach, he is now kona the pas, and the Eruv is chal. Because when we're not talking about a professional seller, like a Chenvani or a Nachtum, then it's absolutely clear that when the person came along, gave him a ma, and said to him, please, buy a loaf of bread to contribute on my behalf as an Erev, he meant to appoint his friend as a Shliach. He absolutely relies on him, and he's definitely assuming that his friend will set up the Erev on his behalf. He's makna him the ma with a full-fledged Gemiras Das, and that's valid. The reason why the Chachamim in our mission, in the cases of Chenvani and Nachtum, disqualify the Erev is because the person who came in, the buyer, the lokeach, he didn't have kavana to make the Nachtum into his shliach to set up the Erev. He was miskaving to be kone, yayin, or pas, and he's not gomer b'daito to give this ma as an absolute gift. And a ma'arv v'she'e ma'arvin li'odom elami daita. Om Rabbi Yehuda v'med dvarim amur b'erev t'chumen av l'b'erev chatzeros ma'arvin l'daito v'shalom m'daito. The Gemara says that in erev t'chumen, you need an approval on the part of the person for whom the erev is being set up, because he stands to lose. As we said many times, he wants to go to the east, and instead they set up the erev to the west. We must get his approval on the Erev Tchumen, but in the case of Erev Chatzeros, that's a win-win situation, because certainly the fact that he is permitted now to carry out into the Chatzer, from this Chatzer to another Chatzer, all that is only for his benefit. He doesn't lose anything, and therefore Ma'arvin L'dayta V'Shalom M'dayta L'fi Shezochin L'Yodim Shalom B'Fanov V'Ein Chavin L'Yodim Shalom B'Fanov. So in the case of Erev Tchumen, we apply the principle of Ein Chavin L'Yodim Shalom B'Fanov, whereas in the case of an Erev Chatzeros, which is a pure Revach without an element of Hefseid, we apply the principle of Zochin Liodim Shalom B'Fanav. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Chachamim in the Reisha did not make these distinctions between Erev Tchumen and Erev Chatzeros. And we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara as to whether or not Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Chachamim, or is he interpreting the Chachamim. And please make note of the fact that the opening three words in Rabbi Yehuda's presentation is Bamed Varma Murin. And we're going to have to look through Mishnayos, but generally speaking, we assume that those words Bamed Varma Murin are just an explanation of what came before it, rather than a dissenting view. The Gemara immediately asks for the explanation of the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, my time dear Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer rule that the ma that you give over to the Chenvani or over to the Nachtum to be Zocha on his behalf for an Erev is Chal, it's a valid Erev, and he's koning the Erev as an exchange for the ma. Holo Masha. After all, the Bala ma, the Kone, the Lokeach, didn't implement a Meshicha on the Yayin or on the Pas. And Metaltalim, as we said before, movable objects ain't him nicknam elab meshicha. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Baravah, Asa Rabbi Lezakar Ba Prokim Bishon. We're going to have now a Mishnah in Masechta Chulin that establishes that there are four period seasons in the year where the Chachamim say that you can be kona metaltalin with Mos without meshicha. And Rabbi Eliezer is going to take the underlying logic and the reasoning that motivated the Chachamim to establish that you could be Kona Metaltalin without Mashicha, just with Mos, during these four periods of time, and he's going to apply that motivating logic to the case of Eruv, in the case of an Eruv Chatzeros. This now, we learned in the Mishnah in Chulin, the Arba Prokim Elu Mashchitin Es HaTabach Bal Korcho. What happens here is that you have an ox that sells for 1,000 dinar, and the shochet is selling you this ox. He'll shecht it for you, and you'll end up with meat for yontiv. And you come in to his shop, and you say, "Here's a dinar. This is a down payment. 1 dinar for a shor that sells for 1,000 dinar." And the Mishnah establishes that in this case, we're going to compel the tabach, meaning the shochet, to slaughter the animal. We're going to validate this kinyan. And even if the shochet decides, you know what, I got a better buyer up the block. Look at this. Shimon comes in now after Reuven offered me 1,000 dinar. And he offers me 1,500 dinar. So he wants to back out of the deal. No. The deal is already signed and sealed, even though all that was transferred was the dinar. No kinyan meshicha was made on the shor, and the shor is metaltal. Vafilu shor shove 1,000 dinar. V'ein lo lokech elo dinar echad. Really, what the buyer meant to buy was 1 dinar. He offered 1 dinar. Nevertheless, kofenes ha-shochet lishchot. We're going to force the shochet to go ahead with the deal in order to supply meat for this buyer. And again, as we'll soon see, that's because of Yontif. We want to encourage people to have meat on Yontif, to eat meat, ain't simcha l'bebos. Lefichach, now, there's a drawback here. I mean, the good news on behalf of the Lokeach is that even though he only put out money, he nevertheless made a kinyan on the shor, on the metaltalin, and he therefore can compel the shochet to shecht the animal and supply him with the meat. That's the good news. The bad news is that what happens if this animal gets lost or dies? In meis lalokeach, the hefsed is going to be suffered by the buyer. He's going to lose his money, even though he doesn't end up with the meat or the shor. The shor died as gestorben, nevertheless. But the reason for that is, says the Gemara, why is it the Meisal Okeach, Volo Moshach, he didn't make a Meshicham Rav Huna, and we have a number of answers. But whatever these answers are, they all come to one point, to justify that immediately when the Tabach accepted 1 dinar, the Kenya was clinched, even though we're dealing with metaltalin and there was no kinyan meshicha made on the animal. And this is the exception to the rule. We'll see exactly why as we go along with the yontif business and eating the meat, where the Chachamim said, we will validate the kinyan, and it's absolutely binding. No backs touch blacks. The moment that the seller receives the payment, or even part of the payment. And here, metaltalin niknim bekesef b'mos bilvad. Now, before we get to that point, which is going to be Rav Ila, and that's our goal for today, is to get to Rav Ila, we first take a slight digression. There's going to be a lame and unsuccessful attempt on the part of Rav Huna to say B'Shem Moshach, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where in fact the buyer on Erev Yontif came into the shop and he made a Meshicha and he schlepped the shor. And therefore he was Zoche in the shor based on the Mos that he gave because he did a Kenyan Meshicha on the shor. Gemara says that's impossible, Rav Huna. Ihochi, if that be the case, he must Seifa. Let's read the Sefer, the same Mishnah in Chulin. It says, B'shar Yemos HaShana, during the course of the balance of the year, except for those four prokim, where there's a mitzvah to eat meat, let's say the Gibel Regalim and Erev Yom Kippur, we'll get to that, is during the rest of the balance of the year, ain't okay. We're not going to force the mocher, the shochet, to shech the animal and present the meat. He can back out of the deal. And the reason why he could back out of the deal is apparently because there was no mashicha. So that it's clear that in this Mishnah, we're talking about a case in the absence of mashicha, and we're differentiating between four seasons of the year as opposed to the rest of the balance of the year. Lefichach imeis meis lamocher. If the animal dies during the rest of the year, then the mocher takes the loss because the kinyan was not clinched. Amai v'amashach, according to you, Rav Huni made a mashicha. So therefore, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak liolom bishalom moshach. We're definitely talking about a case where there was no mashicha. And now if there was no mashicha in the seifa, and that's why in meis lamocher, then there was no mashicha in the reisha. Well, if there was no mashicha in the reisha, then how is that kinyan effectuated such that in meis lamocher la lokeach? Now we have a second attempt. Again, we're not ready yet for Rav Ila on the part of Rav Yishmuel bar Yitzchak to try to understand this mission to make sense out of it. What happens is that the mocher, who's again the shochet in this particular scenario, he finds another person. He asks him, do me a favor. You represent the lokeach, the buyer, and you make the kinyan on his behalf. That's called zichalo al yidei acher. Therefore, barba prokim elu dischusu lo. Since lokeach, during these four prokim, that during the Shulchan Aruch Golem, etc., he wants to eat meat, so he is really eager for the kinyan to be clinched. Then when the mocher sets up someone else who's going to make the kinyan on behalf of the lokeach, that's in the best interest of the lokeach, and therefore we assume that zochin the olim shalom b'fon. However, b'sharimos hashonah d'chov hulo, because if he's spending money to buy meat, and the animal might, you know, just die, never, he's not really in a situation where he wants to, you know, quickly, urgently clinch the kinyan, and therefore when the mocher says to somebody else, be zocha on behalf of the lokeach, ein chavin lo ela b'fon. This is not considered a zchus. So we have now Rabbi Shmuel's attempt at justifying the difference between the four seasons, we could call it. In Netanya, there's this famous hotel of the four seasons, and the rest of the year, even though there was no mashicha, if we operate with the mechanism of zochin the olim shalom b'fonav, which only applies during these four seasons, when a person is very eager to clinch the kinyan, doesn't apply during the balance of the year. Now we're ready for Rav Ida. Rav Ila Amar, in the name of Rav Yochanan, a whole different interpretation of this mission in Chul. Why is it during the four periods of time we're going to force the tabach to shech the animal, and if the animal dies, the lokeach is going to suffer the loss because his kinyan was clinched with a dinar? And the answer is, barba prokem elu hamidu chachamim divreim al divrei Torah. Meaning, that as far as biblical law is concerned, just like you can be kona karka with mos, the Torah validates a kinyan metaltalin with mos. Kesef is kona, both metaltalin and mos. The Rabbanan, through the authority called Hefker Bezin Hefker, they invalidated the kinyan of metaltalin in the case of mos. But if need be, for example, when circumstances require it during the four seasons, the Rabbanan removed their enactment, and we go back to the original Dvar Torah and Mos Konos, that even in Metaltel and without Mashicha, you could be Kon. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah, Mos Konos. Rabbi Yochanan is famous for saying about Metzia Perkaz Zov, which I learned with Rabbi Moshe Chorsky, Elv Shalom, who was killed here five minutes from here in a terrorist attack. Anyway, we learned together Perkaz Zov. And in Perkaz Zov, one of the most important sugyas is this sugya of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, all metaltalin, can be acquired through Kesef. When the lokeach puts down the Kesef, then that completely clinches the kinyan. The kinyan is binding, no backs, and the mocher and lokeh cannot be chozer by him. Umipnei ma amru, and why did the chachamim institute a new principle suspending the kinyan most that the Torah recognizes in the case of metaltelin, meshicha kona, that you must have meshicha? Why? What motivated the chacham to do such a thing? Gzera shemiyomru lo nisrufu chitecha baliyah. When you send money to order a delivery, you're in a very precarious situation on the deraisa level, even though the goods have not been delivered to your house. The kinyan is chal. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvar Torah mos konos. Now what happens? This fellow who's selling you whatever merchandise metaltelin he's selling to you, he has no vested interest in guaranteeing that the metaltelin reach your house, except he'll lose you as a buyer, as a client in the future. But what happens if a fire breaks out in the warehouse of the mocher? The mocher is not motivated to save the merchandise. It doesn't belong to him. He already has the money that was paid by the lokeach, and that's an irreversible kinyan. He's put the money in his bank account, never to be given back or returned as a refund. That puts the lokeach, the buyer, in a very precarious situation. And therefore, since the mocher is not going to protect the lokeach's interest, in fact, he may even fabricate the whole story. He may even come up with a whole ganze bubamice and say, well, there was a fire in the warehouse, sorry, I can't deliver the goods, and your goods went up in smoke, and the whole thing is just a lie. We must protect the interest of the lokeach. And therefore, the Chachamim set up this takana, and they said that until there's a meshicha, until the goods are delivered, and the lokeach has the goods in his hands, the kinyan is not chal, and either the mocher lokeach, either one of them could back out of the deal, it hasn't been clinched yet, there was no meshicha on the metaltelin. And if the object goes up in smoke, the loss is suffered by the mocher, not by the lokeach. This was the takanas chacham. However, says Rabbi Yochanan, actually Rav Ila in the name of Rav Yochanan, that in the cases of Arba Prakim, where there's a vested interest to clinch the kinyan, the very moment that the lokeach puts down the money, and the mocher receives the money, so the Rabbanon waived their takana, and hamidu divrayim al divrei Torah. They went back to the Doraisa halacha, that metaltelin like karka is nikneis b'mos, even without meshicha, so that the buyer will have meat to eat for yontif. And the mocher, who's the shochet, is not going to start looking for a better deal down the block with somebody else who's offering him more money. Now we go back to Rav Bar Avuha, full swing around, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that we're going to apply the same din that applies in the Mishnah Chulin of Arba Prakim to the case of an Eruv. We want to allow people to enjoy Shabbos. We have a vested interest, if ever possible, to validate the Eruv so that a person can carry from his house out to a chutzah based on this Eruv. How are we going to validate the Eruv? After all, the lokeach came into the chenvoni or to the nachtum, and he gave him mos, but he never made a meshicha on the yayin or the pas. Says Rabbi Eliezer, the rabbanon hamidu divrei al dvar Torah. They're going to go back to the doraisa halacha, and they're going to do a takana to undo their original takana that you need meshicha metaltelin, and the mos automatically clinch a kinyan on behalf of the lokeach in the pas or in the yayin. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Umodim, and Chachamim concede to Rabbi Eliezer B'Shar Kol Adam, that they could be Zocha in these Mos, and acquire a Pas, or Yayin, for the Erev, on behalf of the Bala Mos. So the Gemara says, Man Shar Adam, Kol Adam, who are you referring to in the Mishnah, Shar Kol Adam? Omarav Bala Bayis, anyone other than a Nachtom or a Chenvani, who's not selling professionally, commercially, kikros of lechem or yayin, and his friend gave him mos, and he says, Zecheli bekikar li erev b'yayin l'shituf, and that's valid, even according to the Chacham of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chein Omer Shmuel, balabais. The Omer Shmuel, lo shanu, when did the Mishnah say the name of the Chacham, that if you give him mos, then you're not zoch in the Erev, that's Ela Lenachtom. Aval Balabayis, if it's someone who's not commercially selling, Kone. And the logic is that if you're giving him a ma, you are actually appointing him as your shliach to take the ma and buy an Erev, and that's fine. Furthermore, the Omar Shmuel, another statement of Shmuel, again, these are qualifications or embellishments of the Shitas Chachomim and our Mishnah. Lo Shanu, when did we learn this din, that if a person gives a ma to Chenvani or a Nachtom, he's not Zoch in the Erev, Ela ma, that's only in cash, currency. Aval Kli, if let's say, for example, the Mocher comes in and he says, here's a handkerchief, and with this handkerchief, I want you to make a kinyan and buy a kikar or yayin. And that's called a kinyan chalifin. In such a case, kone, the Erev is valid. There's no need for a meshicha. Because the one single kinyan in metaltalin that is completely valid and binding, even without meshicha, without any kinyan on the metaltalin, is chalifin. And this, you may know, is derived from a parsha in Megillas Rus of Vesholaf I Me'ish Nalo Me'o. V'yomar Shmuel Lo Shonu Ela D'yomar Zechelo. When does the Mishnah quoting the Chachamim invalidate this Erev? That's only if the words that came out of the Lokeach's mouth was Zecheli, meaning I want you to be Zoch on my behalf and make a kinyan on my behalf in the Kikar or the Yayin. And that cannot be valid because he never made a meshicha on the yayin or on the kikar. Aval Omar, but if he uses a different language, and he says to the chenvani, or to the nachtum, arevli, not zecheli, but arevli, is shliach shavya. Arevli means he appointed him as a shliach to go ahead and use this money to buy yayin or kikar for the erev or the shituf, v'koni, and it's valid. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, b'medvar mamurim. When do we say Ein Ma'arvin Liodim Elo Midaito? That's only Be'er of Tchumim, but an Erev Chatzei is Ma'arvin Liodim Shelo B'daito. Om Rav Yehuda, be careful. We talk about Rav Yehuda Namora. Om Rav Shmuel Halacha Ki Rav Yehuda. Now, whenever you see the words Halacha Ki, you know that there's a Machlokas. V'lo Odin. Furthermore, Ela Kol Mokum Sheshana Rav Yehuda. Whenever Rav Yehuda has a din in Be'ervin and Hilchas Erevin, Halacha Kiboso. He's the kingpin in Halacha and Hilchas Erevin. Amalei, Rav Chana Bagdasa, Rav Chana, who came from Baghdad, he asks Rav Yehuda, and he says to him, Amar Shmuel, did Shmuel say that we passing like Rav Yehuda, Afilu b'mavui, shenitlu korosav, o lechayav b'shabbos? What happens is a sugya on Daf Tzadi Dalid in a case where they set up a mavui at the beginning of Shabbos with a heter of a korah or a lechi, and it was removed on Shabbos. So at the beginning of Shabbos, the mavui was mutar. Are we allowed, as Rabbi Yehuda insists later on Daf Tzadi Dalid, to continue to rely on this heter of lechi and korah, even though it's not there anymore? Because in the onset of Shabbos, who was there? And apparently, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds you're not allowed to be metaltal in the case where the lechi, the korah, was removed on Shabbos. And did Shmuel commit himself that we have to pass like Rabbi Yehuda Lekula in that case? Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, responds to his question. He says, "Be'erin amaytul chabalo b'machitzos. When did I tell you that we passkin like Rav Yehuda in Hilchas Erevin? That's only when we're dealing with an Erev. You want to know how to set up an Erev, you want to know what would be the din, for example, in the case of Das, whether you need his agreement or not, there we're going to paskin like Rav Yehuda. But as far as Mechitzos is concerned, for example, the case of a Mavui, where you need another Mechitza, you have three Mechitza in your fourth Mechitza, and the Korah of the Lechi is serving as a Mechitza, that's not where Shmuel said, Halachic Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rav Acha, Braid the Rav Ravashi, Halacha, since you made that statement, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, Michlal, I infer from that, the Pligi, that there must be a Machlokas. I don't get it. Ve'omar, Don't we have a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that says, Akomakam Shomer Rabbi Yehuda Emasai or Bamedvar Amur Vishnasenu? Whenever Rabbi Yehuda starts his presentation with the words Emasai or Bamedvar Mamurim, then Eino El Olafarish Divrechom. He's not coming to disagree, but to embellish and explain the Chachamim. So why do you say that the Chacham would disagree? Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to disagree on the Chacham. He's only interpreting what the Chacham. So why does Shmuel say Alochik Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, "Velo pligi." Are you telling me that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regard to an erev chatzer shalom midas? Vanantran, we have a Mishnah back on Daf Pei that if a person sets up a sheet of mavos or an erev chatzeros and it vos v'aleihem, and now new residents move into the chutz of the mavui, is mosif, he can add to the erev on behalf of these new residents, umezaken, he's mezaken them in the eruv. But tzarech lodia, we have to notify them that we're doing this on their behalf, and they have to express their approval. So we see that the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara answers, no. There's no proof here that there's a machlokas. Hasam, that mishnah. He's talking about a case of a chotzer shebein shtei mavos. So this chotzer has entranceways to two different mavos. So when you set up a sheet of mavos, you don't know in which entrance he's going to use. And it's in that sense, it's very similar to the case of Eruv Tchumen. And here's where even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you need his das, because you don't know where he wants to set up this sheet of mavos, towards which Pesach. But in the case of a chotzer that only opens up to one particular chotzer, in that case even the Chacham would agree that you could set up the Erev Shalom Midas, because it's a pure win-win situation. The Gemara now asks Akasha, how can you tell me that the Mishnah back there is talking about a case on Daf Pei, about a case of a chotzer shomeres bein shtei mevos, va'omar Rav Shizbi, omar Rav Chizda, zoso meres. We derive from the Mishnah itself that if he takes from the Dayorim, the new Dayorim, that were not part of the original Erev, he has to be Modir them Chalukim Olav Chaverav al Rabbi Yehuda. That this Mishnah is against the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who says in our Mishnah that with regard to Erev Chatzeres Ma'arvin Liolim Shalom Midas, the Mishnah there says that even with regard to Erev Chatzeres Ein Ma'arvin Olam Midas. So we see clearly that there is a machlokes, samoraim, about how to interpret Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to interpret the Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Chizda, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue against the Tanakhama. So Rav Ashi responds to Rav Acha, Ella, and here on Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Gavra, Gavra, Karomis. You're asking a stira between Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Shmuel. Mar Savar Shmuel says, I hold that plea. That's a machlok stream Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim in this din. And therefore he says, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Umar Savar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on the other hand, holds low plea, that there was never machlokas about it. And the Rabbi Yehuda is coming to interpret the Shita of the Tanakhama of the Chachamim. Shmuel holds, like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that when Rabbi Yehuda said, Bamedvar Amurim, he was disagreeing with the Tanakhama. Only when he says Amosai, then he's coming to interpret the Tanakhama. So according to Shmuel, the earlier Mishnah that we mentioned, that says Yitzarch Lodia, that's addressing both a Chotzer Psucha L'mavoy Echad, or a Chotzer that's Psucha L'shnei Mavos. Okay then, so Belin Edda tomorrow, we'll start with Guf on the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph.